There's the Ruth that's going to read the scriptures. And there's the Ruth over there who said, we could do with moving around a bit and getting warm. So that's what we're going to do. And I just want to explain what's going to happen. First of all, could you find the passage in your Bible? Now, Ruth will give us the verses, but it's actually on page 1093.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to wait while you all turn to John chapter 20, 1093. It's a short reading, and I just want you to have it, if it, just in case it's helpful to you, to have the words in front of you. It's in the right-hand column where it says, Jesus and Thomas. Do you see that? 1093, John 21, Jesus and Thomas. Just two paragraphs, and that's what Ruth will read. Now, we've just sung what I think was a beautiful, beautiful hymn about God's word dwelling in us. Did you notice some of the words in that beautiful hymn? Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. That's what's happening here. God is speaking. So I'm going to ask you, when Ruth has read this passage, just to notice one thing. Now you might say, Steve, there's so much in this famous story. Some of us will have heard it lots. Some of us may never have heard this story before. It's all right. It's not a Bible study. It's not a head thing. What do you notice? It might be something you've never noticed before, something that strikes you, or something that confuses you or puzzles you. What's the one thing that you notice? And when Ruth's read, we'll give you a minute just to notice that one thing. Just one. I'm going to invite you just to tell someone near you what that one thing was in a sentence or two. And for them to tell you what they noticed. Just to say. And then anyone who wants after that, I'm going to ask you to share what you heard. Not what you noticed, what the person you talked to noticed. Now, this is a way of opening each other up so that God's word gets right down inside us. That's what we're going to do. Have I freaked you out? Smaller level of freaking out is perfectly good in church. And that, Ruth and others, that means you might need to just inch across to speak to someone, listen to them. What did you notice? And this is what I noticed. Let's humble ourselves as Ruth here. This Ruth reads God's word for us. Thanks, Ruth.
Today's reading is from John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, the disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just stay with that amazing passage. And what's the one thing that we might share with another person? Don't make it clever. How does it make you feel? What do you notice? One thing. Let's just wait. Before we start talking, let's just wait. It's about noticing, isn't it? Staying with God's word. I'll tell you when to talk. Just let it deepen into you. All right, I'm giving you just less than a minute in case you've not heard the other person. So you're going to say, if you want to, what your partner said, not what you think. This is a really hard thing to do for most of us. Let's kick off. My friend Jean over here, she said, yeah, I did notice something. She said, the resurrection body. Jesus' actual body and the marks in his hands and side. And she said, I believe in that. Wow, what's that going to be like? Wow. The embodiedness of Jesus. And you just tell them what I noticed, Jean.
Unless and never.
Yeah.
Unless, yes.
Two words. Unless you do this, I will never believe. I wonder if we've got unlesses and nevers in us. Anyone else just like to say what they heard there? And I'm a bit short-sighted, so let's start with Ruth over here. What did you hear, Ruth?
Jesus is alive.
Yeah. And did you notice when Ruth said that? Massive smile on her face. Anyone else like to say what they heard? Yeah, thank you very much. This is really good.
Well, we were struck with the fact that when Jesus came into the room, he knew immediately what Thomas's need was, and he knew his doubts, and he dealt with them straight away. And also that these things are written down so that we may believe. Yeah. And Thomas's doubting helps our doubts as well.
Oh, well, we'll explore that in a minute. But this thing, I mean, there are a load of people in the room, but no, he knew what was on Thomas's mind because Thomas hadn't been there before, a week before. He knew he was doubting. He knows all of this stuff. And this is here. It's written down, it's in your hand, so you can think on these things and believe. Isn't that good news? What a perfect summary of, perhaps just a few more. Any other, this is the more populated side of the church, so yeah, go on.
So my sister shared that there's so many people in the world they wouldn't believe because of not seeing, and it really stresses what faith the Christian church has.
We need to, which one is your sister? Oh, Ruth. Yeah, that Ruth, whose idea this was, not really. Yeah, stresses faith. We need to unpack that a bit in a minute, don't we? There's so many people in the world who have not seen and do believe, or have not seen and can't believe. That's the main point, really, of the passage, isn't it? Perhaps one or two more things that you've heard people say. Come on.
We were living in very troubled times, and they were very troubled times when this message was read, and just those words, peace be with you.
Oh, I'm so glad that that's what you heard, because isn't that a wonderful word, peace? Do you feel the weight of it? The more troubled the times, the more precious that is. And they were troubled times, and we've already prayed about the state of the world today, haven't we? Peace. Peace. The gift of the Saviour. Yeah, lovely. One more thing that anyone has heard. Yeah, I'll come. You stay there. I'll come round to you. I'm going to be worn out after this.
The lack of trust, you know, in Thomas. And the Lord knew that.
And that's similar to what we noticed over there. But it was a lack of trust. And this word in the New Testament, faith, you know, it means, we think it means believing. It more means trusting in. And he had a lack of trust. So is Jesus trustworthy? That's the question. Not have we got all the answers. Great insight. One more thing, maybe? Don't want to freak you out. I know this is a bit much. Oh, over there. What did you hear?
Yes, Heather and mine thoughts were pretty similar, really.
Often happens.
Yes, it was the Thomas was, he didn't want to be deceived, and he wanted the real thing, and he thought maybe they've been deceived, you know, and we sort of used the expression, you know, that, or Heather used the expression, you know, if she told me that the moon was made of cheese, you know, would I believe that? And you want to experience the real thing, and I think it was quite healthy that he wanted the real thing and not to just believe everything what someone told him.
And you too kind of got that same...
We were saying that having doubt and questioning is healthy because it then reinforces what you do believe.
Yeah, that's so brilliant, because we do this thing, doubting Thomas, as if he's a weakling. He just needed to know enough, didn't he, this bloke? So let's unpack that. He was someone who wanted the real thing, and when he had enough, he was fully in, my Lord and my God. That's a cracking insight. I think we often do Thomas a bit of an injustice. Let me just pop this back on here. Sorry about the racket. That little process, we call this dwelling in the Word. What we're doing is feeling the weight from each other of this passage and of the good news in it and the challenges in it. I think you're all right, aren't you? It's amazing what wisdom comes out of this. But this thing about Thomas that we just finished with over there, the whole point was he'd missed out the first time, hadn't he? Did you notice that? Jesus had already appeared to the rest of them 8 days before, and they'd got something that he hadn't got. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Actually, I think we can often feel like that, can't we, about our own faith. She had an experience I didn't have. He had something happen to him that I didn't have, so I feel like the poor relation. We need to be very careful about that. Jesus meets each of us in the way that's right for us, yeah? But we have to be open to it. So I have respect, like you guys, and empathy for Thomas. He was probably stumbling around the streets of Jerusalem just trying to process Jesus' death on the cross when Jesus appeared to the rest. And so when Jesus comes to them, breathing, who said peace? You know, Jesus was breathing his peace and his Holy Spirit over the rest, and poor Thomas missed out on that. And you can imagine, he comes back to the other room to find them babbling incoherently about apparently Jesus has been there in the room, right where you're standing now, Thomas, he was there. And not surprising, Thomas needed just a little bit more than that. I would, wouldn't you? Of course. You know, do you think you might have got yourselves a little bit wound up, stuck in this room all this time? I hear what you're saying, but unless I can see the marks in his hands and that awful gash in his side. You can imagine a week on, they've been stuck in this room. The atmosphere would have been fetid, like in an overlong PCC. And they're stuck, and relationships are a bit strained, actually more serious, you know, like those poor people living in cellars in the Ukraine. And back here, you can imagine the mess, screwed up copies of the Jerusalem Times, plastic coffee cups all over the show. And actually, this is how It was with all these encounters of the risen Jesus, and it's how it is today with us. If we're here and we're exploring faith and thinking, what is this all about? Well, actually, it's not about us in a way. It is about Jesus, the Jesus who comes to us. And in those first stories in the Gospels here of the risen Jesus coming, it was like that. You felt his presence and he was just there. Time stopped still. And this thing about the resurrection body, it was like Jesus came in his resurrection body, and it wasn't the same as before, but if anything, it was more real, more vivid, more Jesus than the Jesus who in his human life had walked around with them. I wonder if there's something there about, you and I were saying, what's the resurrection body like? Well, more full of life. That's how C.S. Lewis described heaven. More real, more vivid. Describes blades of grass in one of his books that are so green you can barely look at them, and so sharp you couldn't touch them. They're kind of more real, not less. And the word peace that somebody picked up on down there, that's what Jesus says, just like the first time, 8 days before. But, as someone said, it was just to Thomas. It was as if Thomas was the only one in the room, wasn't it? He knew what Thomas needed, just as Jesus knows all our experiences, all our questions, all our doubts, all our life experiences that bring us to this point. He knows. And so he says, it's all right, Thomas. You can touch me. You too can believe. And it's at this point that this kind of hoarse whisper escapes from Thomas's mouth and echoes round that upper room and in all their hearts and down through the centuries, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Which is all that we come to. Those are words of worship, aren't they? And trust. You're so right. It's not just about believing stuff in our head. It's being prepared actually to trust this Jesus, because from all we know about him, he is the trustworthy one. Faith is trust. My Lord and my God. So, yeah, don't get on Thomas's case. Don't put that on him. He just needed enough. He hadn't been there. They'd all had the benefit of that a week before. So don't do that thing. I suggest, anyway, see what you think, but don't do that thing to Thomas where we treat him as a kind of doubting Thomas. When he had just enough, he was more full on than the rest of them. He's not this kind of wavering, fence-sitting, can't make my mind up Anglican kind of person that we often imply he is. Like Woody Allen. Woody Allen once said, I don't believe in the afterlife, but I'm packing a spare pair of underpants just in case. Edging his bets. Don't put that on Thomas. We could spend more time thinking about Thomas, but do you remember 2 weeks before this, back a week to the cross, back a week in John's Gospel in chapter 11. I don't know whether you remember this, but there comes a point where Jesus hears that his dear friend Lazarus is ill. Yeah? Before that great story, he hears, and Lazarus lives in Bethany, which is in Judea, and Jesus is in Galilee at that point. Judea, where Jerusalem is really not going to be safe. And so Jesus says, okay, let's go to Judea. And the rest of them are very, very resistant to this. And so Jesus says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. And as often happens, they take Jesus literally when he doesn't mean to be taken literally. He says, no, I don't mean he's asleep. He's dying. He's dead. And it's guess who says in John 11, right, okay, if it's like that, let us all go with him that we may die with him. Guess who that is? That is our friend Thomas who says that. Yeah? Some of us just need enough. And when we put our trust in Jesus, we're going to be all in, aren't we? Jesus invites us to be all in, my Lord and my God. And just to bring this to rest so we can, as it were, apply it to ourselves. Nobody said, but one of the things I noticed, I don't think Thomas does actually touch Jesus at the end, does he? Did I get that right? He sees Jesus looking at him and inviting him to touch him. But he doesn't need to touch him in the end. It's when, I think you were right, I think that thing about Jesus comes and he knows the one who needs his attention, and it's Thomas. He knows all this stuff, and he looks at Thomas and he speaks to Thomas, and that's enough. Faith isn't actually about having all our questions answered. I think the more we follow our Lord Jesus, the more we kind of rack up the questions. Mature faith is when we know what questions we have and we travel with Jesus on the road and talk to Jesus and with each other about that. And that came out in something that we noticed. And it's just a little, you see, there's two things here. I think Jesus wants us all in, 100% like Thomas. But that's not the same as having total certainty about everything. We're all in. We're fully committed. But we don't have all our questions answered. And if you think about it, if following Jesus is about learning, we often say a disciple is a follower of Jesus, and the word disciple means something like learner. Then if we're too certain about everything, we can't learn anything, can we? Has that ever occurred to you? So let's be all in, but let's not pretend we have all the answers to stuff that sometimes probably we don't have the answers to. We've got more to learn. Jesus opens things up. He never closes us down. So, just to finish, I'd like to say thank you for taking part in what we did. I hope that's been helpful to you, and I hope there's something from this story that has lodged with you that you can take away. For us all to take away, just three things very briefly. One, yes, there is a faith question. It is possible that we sit on the fence of faith, hedging our bets and not really trusting. And so if you're new to faith, or you're exploring faith, which is what we do, has the Thomas moment come for you yet? What do you think that might be like for you? What would it take for you to accept Jesus as Lord and God like Thomas did? Is it the right time? Or might you be on that kind of journey? That's the first thing. And the second thing is, if I'm someone who has been on the road with Jesus for some time, just think about the upper room. Are there still any, as it were, locked doors or high hedges in my life which I'm not having Jesus look into? Sealed off. Too scary. Are my so-called certainties actually ways of keeping God out of some places and avoiding some things? Now, I know that's a big question. There's nothing to be afraid of, because as we saw, Jesus knows how to approach every one of us. He knows all things. Jesus' eye has been on us for a long time. What do I need to trust him with? And then last of all, for us all, this thing about Jesus' eye being on us, am I ever still enough to sense Jesus' presence? We have to be still. He has to have our attention. Just like that moment there. The good news is that if we, like Thomas, take even half a step towards the one who sees us, we will find ourselves putting down our half-drunk plastic coffee cups or whatever it is we're dragging around, and, as it were, sliding to the floor with words of worship and trust rising from our hearts, saying, Jesus, my Lord and my God. May it be so. Amen. Thank you, everybody.